answer. Now, who here is an aficionado of the Matrix? Oh, no. I wish I'd... So you're going to be able to say you're wrong. Now, I did a very brief glossary of some terms in the Matrix. Right. What about this? Let's have a look. Who knows who Trinity is? Yeah? Trinity is a woman. Yeah? You agree with that? Although she looks like a man. Right, Trinity. Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's Trinity who restores Neo from death. She kisses him. You know, the word Trinity never actually appears in the Bible, but Neo deepens the mystery of who Trinity is when he says to her, I just thought you were a guy. Great thing. What about the word Logos? We've got the Logos. We've got Zion. You know, that last human city. You know, all references to the Bible. We've got numerology. You know, Neo's apartment number is 101, suggesting that he is the one. We've got all these things. We've got the birth. Do you remember the scene in the film where Neo is birthed? And suddenly all those tubes come out the back of his head. And he slips down that plug hole into that vat of water. Is it baptism? Is that what, or am I just being an English literature student and reading far too much into it that isn't there? You know, you've got Thomas Anderson. Thomas, doubting Thomas. You've got all these things. All these things happening in the Matrix. And what about Philip Pullman? My great friend. My great friend Philip. I'd like to read it. Can you stand a reading? Are you bored yet? I'm going to read to you. Demented and powerless, the aged being could only weep and mumble in fear and pain and misery. And he shrank away from what seemed like yet another threat. It's all right, Will said. We can help you hide, at least. Come on, we won't hurt you. The shaking hand seized his hand and feebly held on. The old one was uttering a wordless whimper that went on and grinding his teeth and compulsively plucking at himself with his free hand. But as Lyra reached in to help him out, he tried to smile and to bow, and his ancient eyes, deep in their wrinkles, blinked at her in innocent wonder. Between them, they helped the Ancient of Days out of his crystal cell. It wasn't hard, for he was as light as paper, and he would have fallen over them, having no will of his own and responding to simple kindness like a flower to the sun. But in the open air, there was nothing to stop the wind from damaging him, and to their dismay, his form began to loosen and dissolve. Only a few moments, he had vanished completely, and their last impression was of those eyes, blinking in wonder and a sigh of the most profound and exhausted relief. Then he was gone, a mystery dissolving into mystery. Now, what you've just heard is Philip Pullman describing the death of God. You know, this great creator of ours, completely assigned to being blown away in a whisper. Now, do you regard that as a threat to the Christian faith? Do you regard that as something which we should actually deal with as Christians or as non-Christians? Do we, you know, what do we feel with that? You know, for me, it was a case of, I've had enough. I'm going to write something which actually takes on the theology of all these people and tries to put my own Christian, my own God-centered viewpoint on what it's all about. And for many of you, it might be the same. And the thing is, if Christians don't write, if people who believe in God don't write, then we're just going to give the world over to people who are going to put their own particular faith view across. One of the jokes about Shadowmancer, which we've just been sharing in with the press, is that none of the English press have realized that the hero in Shadowmancer is a black Christian. They all believe that the hero is white. Now, if you read the book, it's very clear. It says that this guy is black, and he's got black skin, he's got dreadlocks, he's a black guy. And yet, for some reason, people are just blinded to this fact that he's black. In America, when the book was released, the first thing that caused a stir was that the main character was black. That there was a white guy writing about black guys. Wasn't so much the theology, it was a fact of race. In England, Philip Pullman is allowed to say that God is dead, God is senile. God is useless. God is just evaporated. But as soon as G.P. Taylor said that God was alive, God was real, and God was there for us, suddenly I was a born-again hypocrite who should be stopped from writing. You know, why? Where? Literally, no, when you read it was the Independent. Did anybody read the Independent article on the same day as publication of my first book? Basically, the guy said, and it's a guy called Nick Tucker. Are you here, Nick? Nick Tucker said that G.P. Taylor should be stopped at all cost, and that if my book was ever a bestseller, it would mean that Thought for the Day was more popular than The Archers. I sent him an email when it went to number one. Every week for 15 weeks when it stayed at number one. What I wanted was one of those like audio clips that you can attach to an email. It was going to go... But I couldn't get it to work. But we, you know, and I know there's many people out here who are writers and who want to write and who may be feeling discouraged. But you've got to do it. You've got to actually set pen to paper. And never believe it when people say you can't do it. Even if you are an English literature student, you can still, you can still become a writer. You know, the most important thing for us as Christians is to infiltrate every avenue of the media and take with us our God-centered morality and our God-centered thinking. Because we, you know, we are the foundations of a society. You know, we are not the minority. There are thousands upon thousands of Christians in this world. And Christianity is the fastest growing faith system in the world. You know, when I go into church, and at the moment I don't have a church to go to, so I'm going around all these different churches to try and find a home for myself. And it's amazing. I thought when I was in my church that my little 100 people were Christendom. Well, there's us, you know. We're doing very well, thank you very much. And there's, you know, maybe only 100 Christians in Scarborough. Maybe 72,000 people out there, but 100 Christians. I've gone around about 19 churches, and they're all packed with people. So it's great, you know, we're on the up. And even if we are getting bad press, you know that Christians get bad press? Who watches EastEnders? Yeah, do you notice that? Did you notice how they actually answered that question? When I said, who's an English literature student? It was, yes! Who watches EastEnders? Am I saved if I watch EastEnders? Confession will be held after this program. I met a guy, he's over there, he's called Joe. He was telling me about a character, and this character he's developed for his stage act, and it's this guy called Bob. And Bob is one of those Christians who comes up and he says, we're going to be praying them in, hugging them into the kingdom. It's going to be really good. We're going to hug everybody in for the Lord. And he's developed a thing called flossing for Jesus. It's your fault. You shouldn't have told me. Flossing. And I'm going to... But the thing was, when he explained what flossing for Jesus was, I thought, this is brilliant. I'm going to use this. What you do is you get a piece of floss. And when you're praying, it's a prayer aid, you know. Start flossing, and I'll do it in his voice. He says, imagine when you're flossing, all those little bits of meat or all those little bits of sin that get caught up in our life, and as those little bits of meat come out on the floss, just think that those are the sins that God's forgiven. It's true, isn't it? Yeah. And it is, you know, this guy, you know, he's a comedian, he's an actor, he's going to subvert the media because he's going to get on some show in about 5 years' time. He's going to be absolutely mega famous, and he's going to be the Lord's man in the Lord's place. And this is what it's all about in the media. It's about subverting. It's about getting ourselves in positions of responsibility. We've got all these kids here in front of us who must be thinking, my goodness, I wish this old fart shirt. Is that what he'd have said? He did what? Oh, did they? Oh, thank you very much. She'll be asking for a refund on the way out. I had that happen with one of my books. I was doing a book signing. And I've been doing book signings all over the country. This kid came up and said, I read it, I want a refund. He brought my book, but he expected me to give him $5.99 back out of my pocket. I want a refund. I said, why? He said, it was crap. Is that a theological term? Well, it might be, it's still crap. I've lost where I was going now then. Oh, yes, Bob. But yeah, flossing for Jesus. You know, it's all these things that we can subvert. that we can get involved in. And we may think to ourselves, I can do nothing for the kingdom. You know, I'm just a, you know, Joe Bloggs living in Scunthorpe. Does anybody live in Scunthorpe? Does anybody live in Scunthorpe? Did somebody put their hand up then? Am I going to have a fatwa by the mayor of Scunthorpe? Helen, do you live in Scunthorpe? No. All right. But, you know, we may be thinking to ourselves, you know, what am I going to do? But, you know, we can do something for God no matter who we are, no matter where we are, we can do it. And if I can write a bestseller, then you all can as well. And we can infiltrate this media business because that is where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be undermining society with our viewpoint. We have Philip Pullman who tries to bring in his atheistic viewpoint, and we have the writer of Buffy who brings in all these Christian nuances, and the writer of The Matrix who literally has taken the Gospel of St. John and brought it to the silver screen. This is where we should be at. This is what I've set out to do, and it's something I hope that you too will do as well. So thank you very much. We now have some time for some questions. No. Does anybody have a question? Did what? No, I gave him my free dinner ticket. Bob will give you the ticket. Right, one question down here. Well, I went into Waterstones. She wants to know, in the bio of my book, in the bio of Shadowmancer, it says that G.P. Taylor has spent the whole of his life researching the mysteries of the universe, and he lives in a secluded graveyard. Right. All right. No. No. Listen, that is not lying. It's true. I have spent the whole of my life searching for the hidden meaning of the universe. I got involved in witchcraft and magic at the age of 14. I got involved in tarot cards and seances and all that sort of stuff. And at the age of 21, I became a Christian. So I've been researching the hidden meanings. And I live in a churchyard because my vicarage is built. This is the Church of England for you. Now, this is what they do. Next door, 8-bedroomed, stone-built, 5 reception, setting its own grounds. Old vicarage. Next door, churchyard. 1962 brick-built toilet. In the middle of a churchyard. So I live in a graveyard. It's the dead centre of Clouton. Yeah. Olu went, ugh. Yeah, old joke. But I do. So it's truth. But it's done like that. Because could you imagine if you went to a bookshop and opened up my book and said, G.P. Taylor is the Anglican vicar of Clouton, Burness and Ravenscarwith, Stayton Dale. He was the former curate to the parish of Whitby. What would you do? You'd think, rubbish. It'd be straight out. That's why I don't like my books being sold in Christian bookshops. Because I don't want Christians to read them. I want people who aren't Christians to read them. Well, no. Because I'm getting... Why am I here? Why am I here? Because I wouldn't come last year. They invited me to come last year, and I said, no, I'm not coming. And they said, why not? I said, well, why didn't you want me last year? And they said, well, you were a nobody last year. So I said, I'm a nobody this year, I'm not coming. So what they did this year was, without me knowing, they contacted my publishers. They told my publishers how many people came here. My publisher sent me a list of what I was doing. And it just said, you're going to go and give a talk at some event in the south of England, Chelmsford Book Festival. So when I arrived this morning, my chauffeur-driven limousine dropped me off with Anita, you know, me and Anita. And, like hell. You know, where... There's Joe and I slumming it in the gents' toilets, which they use as a green room. And Anita Broderick's whisked in, you know, with her own set of minders and is taken inside. She's not having to vie with, you know, Billy Joe's Fun Factory workshop next door. Good heavens. She's got a real audience. They sit on chairs. So
she's here later.
Is she?
Yeah, she's here later doing exactly the same thing. So yeah.
Okay, she's very good. But I'm here because I just thought I'd better come and see you all. But yeah, I don't want my books to be read by Christians because I want Christians to buy them and give them to other people. And usually buy 2 or 3 at a time because then it really does help in your... No, seriously, it's 3 for 2. You can buy 3 for 2 at Waterstones. And it's great because what you do is you buy a copy of Shadowmancer or Wormwood, which are now available at $5.99 each. And what you do is you buy a load, and you know when you're going around and you're talking to your friends and they've got these deep theological questions that you don't really want to answer, just say, hey, why don't you read this novel? Understand it? And then when you've got rid of those five, just come back and buy some more. And I'll retire. Right, any more questions? Shout! Why was my hero in my first book a black man? Because nobody in the country was writing about black people. It was as if they didn't exist. We have lovely little Harry. Yeah, have you heard of that book? Yeah. Harry Potter, and we've got Lyra and Will, and all these characters who are all born in Oxford. Anybody from Oxford? You know, they're all sort of nice white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who, you know, go running around having jam and toast for tea. A bit like Ingrid Blyton on Ingrid. We will go and have the jam. Then we will get on the boat, okay? No, that's Ingrid Blyton, not Enid Blyton. So, yes. So, it was getting a bit like Janet and John. So I wanted a good, strong character because the black community doesn't have very many good black characters written by writers, and I feel a bit of a prat for writing about black people. Thankfully, I know a lot of black people and know the culture and lived in Brixton and down in Battersea, in places like that, worked in a laundry, I was the only white person there, so I got a good grounding in what it was like to be a black person living in this country, so I thought I could write about it with a bit of, you know, knowledge. And also, it was a thing about how racist the Church of England's been. If you think about it, are you all members of the Church of England? Yeah? Methodists? Any? What do you mean, way? Way! Hands down for coffee! So, all right, come on. Solidarity, brothers and sisters. How many Anglicans we got here? That's the only time you're ever going to see the hands in the air. But if you get serious, the Church of England has got a lot to repent of. You know, the Church of England was born out of adultery. It was born out of Henry VIII wanting to have a new wife. Oh, I'm not going to get out of this. Beam me up, Jesus. You know, that's how we were born. We were split. And then we got involved in slavery in a very big way, and I still think we haven't made it up to these people and actually gone to them and said, look, we're sorry for what we did, and I think we have a real need to repent. And that's why I wrote Shadowmancer, because the main character was a vicar. The evil Obadiah Demerol is a vicar. And he was a racist. He was a slave minder. He was an occultist. He was into all these things that the church has dabbled with. There were more Kabbalists in the Church of England in the 18th century than anywhere else. You know, the Church of England has got a history of people dabbling in things that they shouldn't get involved with. And it's time for us as a generation now to actually repent of what we've done and say, Lord, we want a new beginning. So that's why I made him black. Does that answer your question? Hallelujah. Right, any more? Said about the Americans' reaction to Buffy, what was the reaction of having me there? Well, I got banned from Focus on the Family. Yeah. Banned. And we were all set to do the program, and then they put it to their editorial committee. And you had to get, it was a bit like the Olympics, you had to get 4 out of 5 votes of to say this was a suitable book to show our children and promote to the children of America. I scored nil point. I felt like Norway in Eurovision. You know. So, yeah. But then again, I did a show called The 700 Club with Pat Robertson. You ever heard of this one? Oh, well, that was very good because I was in the green room, the dressing room beforehand, and they have a minder there, and she said, you're a vicar? I said, yeah, I'm a vicar, I'm a vicar. And what's that? I said, I'm an Anglican priest. Priest? Can we pray for you? Literally, you know, I thought they were going to deliver me there on the spot. Lord, we pray that you take up. So it's been a really strange. The only thing is, what I will say, is that in America, the Christian press has got really behind Shadowmancer and Wormwood. It's been on the front page of all their glossy magazines. It's their double page spreads. It's really, you know, G.P. Taylor, all the time. And in England, there's a paper called Christianity and Renewal. You may have heard of it. They're actually using it in Toilets 7 and Toilets 9. And it's not to read. And they actually have just binned me completely. You know, and it's been a really painful process that the press in this country, the Sun newspaper, the Telegraph, the Times, the Guardian, fantastic, full page spreads, but the Christian newspapers over here have not touched me so far. The Christian Herald have been good. One of the papers actually said we're not even going to cover him completely. The Church Times has been good. Church of England newspaper, hardly anything. So there's been a great difference. But in America, it's cool to be a Christian. You know, you don't have to say, if anybody says, how many Christians do I have in here? You don't kind of go, I'm one. Which church you go to? Well, the Church of the Holy Veruca. You know, over there you say, how many Christians? Oh, yeah! You know, I'm a Christian, two hands, English literature Christian. And then they don't mind, you know, they're like, prayer will come up in conversation. Yeah, I was just talking to the Lord this morning and, you know, he was telling me that I've got to invade Iraq. Yeah. Yeah. And then he put his horns away and he put his tail back in and, oh, yeah. What Lord are you talking? But yeah, it's just a whole difference. There's just a whole difference over there. You know, Christianity is cool. Hundreds of people go to Sunday mornings. The roads are packed. They're not going to the car boot sale. You know, I thought I had revival on my hands in Whitby. Then I realised I'd opened a car boot in the church car park. And there's cars flooding towards the church. I'm going, hallelujah, Lord! You know, then you see all the stuff in the Bible. Over there, thousands of people go to church. It's a cool thing. If you had this convention over there, there may be 500,000 people here. And that's the difference. That's killed you off, hasn't it? Is there anybody there? How did I manage to get on Johnny Walker? Because I'd been putting him off for a year. Now, the great thing is that once you get to a certain level of selling books, then people want you on. Then there's certain things I will do. We're hopefully doing Graham Norton this year. Which will be good. Because I'm going to say that I could be more camp than him. I'll try a line on you. Graham Norton is going to say to me, and you're a vicar. I said, well, you're going to make a really good vicar. Why is that? I said, well, you're Irish and you're gay. Now, that got a mixed reception, didn't it? Yeah. Rowan, can you help me out here, mate? No, so it's great. But Johnny Walker, take that. That guy was really searching for God. If you listen to what he was saying, didn't want to talk about the book, wanted to talk about Jesus. So much so that they want me to go back on once a month. Just not to talk about books, but to talk about faith. Because the people want to hear faith. When I went off, phone lines were flooded. There was emails coming in and coming in because people wanted to talk about faith. And the people, there's millions of people out there who want to know about Jesus but don't want to go to church. You know, 17,000 people on this site today, but there are 58 million people out there who are doing something else. And those are the people that we've got to reach. Those are the people we've got to touch. And it's not, I don't think it'll come through church. I think we've got to find new ways of taking God to them. And it'll come in different ways, but we've got to do it. And it's our charge. You know, we have to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. It's you. There's that hymn, you know, here I am, Lord, all that sort of thing. Who shall I send? And you see, you know, every ordination thing. Who shall I send? Here I am, Lord. No, I'm not, Lord. If you think I'm not bloody going there, they'll all hate me. Because I'm a Christian, and they'll lynch me by the short and curlies. You know. But God has got to send somebody, and he's going to send you. And the key is that people want to know about God. They might not want to know about the church. and this is where we should be going. You know, you are the only gospel that people are going to read. And it's down to you all to take it to them and shove it up the nose. Any more questions? Or we've got to finish. Have I got any literary heroes? Dan Dare. Dan Dare. I love Dan. And Ming the Merciless. Yeah. Ming the Merciless because he looked like my mother. Can you hear me, mother? No. I was going to say T.S. Eliot, but I've never read any of his stuff. They gave me, when I went to Abham to the interview to get become a vicar, they said, and what are you reading? I said, Cosmopolitan. He said, why is that? I said, I like the fashion tips. And he said, have you read any T.S. Eliot? I said, does he write for Cosmopolitan? I hadn't got a clue who this guy was. Then I went to see Cats. And suddenly I realised, hey, this bloke T.S. Eliot, I've never heard of him. Does he write for the darkness? You know. And then somebody told me he was dead. But like they all are. When you become an author, you die. It's the only way they can get you to sell books. No, favourite author, I would say, is George Orwell. Yeah, something nice and depressive. Yeah. Any more? We have levitation going on here. Do you know I mentioned the slip up earlier? Grapevine. Grapevine. It's a Christian festival at Lincoln. Well, on the Monday afternoon, we're at Grapevine, and they were singing a song called Send the Fire, O God of Burning Cleansing Flame, Send the Fire, and you know, all this sort of stuff. And suddenly we were hit by a freak tornado. I've never seen charismatic Christians speak in tongues so fast. I shun the. In the name of Jesus, go back. And it moved the tent like this. But the thing was, it was a big top and the whole tent went, boom, boom. It was as if God said, shut up. Put your hands down and stop speaking gibberish. Oh, dear. Yes, the book is being made into a film. But the trouble is, I'm having trouble convincing the Universal Pictures that the hero's black. You know, when they say, well, I think we'll get Tom Cruise to play Rafa. I said, look, it's not the bloody black and white minstrels. You know, they haven't got a clue that it was black. So we're looking for a black character with dreadlocks. Hey, yes! We've got it here. So, yeah, that's going to be done in a couple of years' time. But they're making Wormwood into a musical. No, this is the great thing about being a writer. You get all these nutters writing to you from Hollywood saying, hi, GP. They don't call me Graham. Hi, GP. We've had a wonderful idea. As we're going to do Shadowmancer 1 as the movie, we're going to do Wormwood 1 as the musical, the rock opera. What? We want a love interest. It's a children's book. No, we want Agatha, because they all can't speak. We want Agatha to fall in love with Sabian Blake. I said, but she's 12 and he's 26. I know I'm an Anglican vicar, but that's really pushing it too far. And it's not a choir boy. Is that really your laugh? The only man to laugh like Steve Chalk. Oh, this is good. Joe, hit him. But not in a comical way, because he'll just laugh more. Oh, dear. I'm going to take him to all of my... Take him to church. Do you know that? As a vicar, you're so worried that when you tell a joke, nobody's going to laugh. I'll just have him. Laugh now. This is the Greenbelt revival. You know, you've heard of Pensacola. This is it. We're going to be laughing. It's the laughing revival. He's been to laughing therapy. Have you ever tried that? I once took an assembly and then got banned from the school. No, I decided. No, the assemblies are kind of, hello, children. I've come to tell you about Jesus and Muhammad and everybody else who's ever been incarnated, because this is a multi-faith school. So I said, right, kids, we're going to have a laugh. And they said, what are you going to do? I said, we're going to laugh. And they said, ah, ha, ha, and then it went on and on and on, just laughing. And then we sang, My God is So Big. You know. Oh, this is brilliant. Next time I go for an audition, will you sit at the back? Imagine doing Hamlet in front of him. Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well, Horatio. Right, any more questions? Yes, at the back. No, you, yes, you, with your hand up. When you put your hand up, it means they're over there, it's the top. Yeah. Right, basically that was, goes to a church, ministering to, some people are ministering to the occult, how do we as Christians minister to people involved in witchcraft, magic, and all that sort of stuff? Very basically, by getting alongside them, not thrusting your Christianity down the throat, not really having to mention Jesus unless they ask. Being a friend, being a supporter, being interested in what they're doing, because the worst thing is that when people aren't interested in you, you think, oh, well, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. And they'll want to tell you about what they're involved with. And you listen to them and say, but yeah, that may be your point of view, but my point of view is this. And we've not got to be sort of, you know, like stormtroopers for Jesus. You know, don't sort of jump on them and start exercising them or anything. And just get alongside them, make friends with them. We had a service, a church service for vampires. And it was a Friday afternoon, and we said, you know, we'll invite the vampires to come to church. And we bought red grape juice and all sorts of other bits of twee things, and we made them cakes, and we invited them along. We thought we'd get about 20. We got 400. And then they came along, and although we couldn't sing hymns, we played some music. We played some of their music, and we played some classical music, bits and pieces. And then we then had a scripture reading about Jesus rising from the dead. And we just then went into a talk about, you know, where is God for us? And we talked about witchcraft says this, and magic says this, and Aleister Crowley says this, and we just got alongside them. And they kept coming back. And that's the thing to do, and do things for them. Make your houses open to them. The best fun I ever had was when a vampire came for tea. Thankfully, my wife is one of those women who copes with anything. And this guy came up, and he wasn't invited for tea. He just came on tea time, and he knocked on the door. And I opened the door. I said, are you the vicar? I said, yeah. And he's there, long black leather coat, long black hair, fangs, white face. I said, are you a vampire? He said, yes, I'm the president of the Vampire Society. I said, well, you better come in then. So I invited him in. I said, what's your name? He told me his name. I walked in. Kathy's there, giving the kids the baked potatoes and quiche, because that's all we eat as Christians, is baked potatoes and quiche. And she said, I said, hello, this is Paul. And the kids looked at her and went, oh. And I said, would you like some tea? I said, we haven't got any meat. And he came for tea, and it was great. We became great friends. And we can become friends with these people. We can have what's called critical solidarity. We can be alongside them. We can help them. We can talk to them. We can befriend them. We don't have to agree with what they say. And we can have a good time sharing what love of God we've got with them. And you may find you've got more in common with them than you actually think. And some of my best friends are witches. The ones that aren't cursing me anyway. Is that it? Time for one more question, then you're all being evicted. Sorry, say that again. Why did I give God a made-up name? Because if I'd have gone into the words of, you know, saying God, Jesus, then by chapter 2, every non-Christian would have burnt my book and thrown it away or used it as a bed rest or something. But I thought, you know, what can we do? And I'm into King Arthur in a big way. And I've often wondered who King Arthur was. And I came across a king who lived actually down here. And he was a Roman. He was a Roman, a local king, and he was a Roman. And his name was Ryothamus, which meant the king of the kings. And he was King Arthur. So Ryothamus means I am the king of the kings. And in my life, I know one king of the kings, and his name is Jesus. So I thought, call him Ryothamus, then people are going to think, you know, who is this guy? And if you type in Ryothamus into a Google search, it comes up with all the information about who he is. And then there's lots of links to Christian sites. And if you do that with my book, with any of the words, you know, type them into a Google search, and then they'll take you to websites which will then show you, you know, what kind of spirituality I follow. So it's another way of actually subverting everybody. Well, thank you very much for coming. I've never done this thing before. And so I really am amazed that so many people came. It's been great fun. And I'm sorry that you didn't think I was Anita Broderick and she's on next. So thank you very much indeed. Thank you.